Hey, welcome to On My Walk, the reading podcast that helps you capture some of those aha moments from reading and apply them to your life and leadership. Now, today on my walk, I was thinking about an expression Joseph Ellis made in Founding Brothers. It's his Pulitzer Prize-winning book that looks at the lives of eight figures who shaped America as we know it. And for the record, let me give you those eight. He's going to talk about Abigail Adams and John Adams and Aaron Burr and Benjamin Franklin and Alexander Hamilton, Thomas Jefferson, James Madison, and yes, George Washington. And specifically, what he notes is that these early founding brothers, he calls them, were trapped in the moment of their time. And consequently, if we're not careful, our hindsight looking back on their moments is going to be less than 20/20, and I'll explain that in a minute. But first, a few words of introduction about Ellis, and then I want to share with you my aha moment from today, which I might add is a very important one, especially in light of all the racial tension in our country, and especially in light of what I think is somewhat of a wholesale discrediting of some of our founding fathers due to either the fact that they owned a slave or their position on slavery, and specifically what they allowed the South to do at the Constitutional Convention. So more about that in just a minute, but hear me out. I don't intend for a moment to condone slavery or slaveholders, but neither do I intend to vilify slaveholding patriots, which may seem a little bit like an oxymoron, but I think this is really important, so hang with me. Because Ellis didn't win the Pulitzer Prize just because. He is a brilliant historian, and his analysis and his insight on hindsight is, I think, spot on. But before I get there, let me tell you a little bit about this 74-year-old Joseph Ellis. First of all, his personal achievements are pretty impressive. He's an eminent historian. He's the author of a number of outstanding works, including American Sphinx on Thomas Jefferson, His Excellency George Washington, which I've read. He has been teaching at Mount Holyoke since 1972. Now, along with his personal achievement, there's some personal embarrassment. You say, well, how so? Well, back in 2000, 2001, thereabouts, he lied with respect to his involvement in the Vietnam War. Maybe it came to light at that particular time. And it brought about, as one might expect, a significant amount of criticism. There's a whole backstory to it, and I'm not going to go there, but there's been a lot of personal embarrassment on his part. The third thing I want to point out about Ellis is his personal scholarship. I mean, it's astounding. This guy commits 30 pages to his bibliography and his endnotes, but he notes that were he to give a full accounting of all of his notes that he used in this book, it would take as many pages as his text takes. And the reason for that is because, in essence, his book, Founding Brothers, is essentially a distillation of his reading in the historical literature on the Revolution era over 30 years of his life. Okay, let me take you right to his introductory pages where Ellis cautions those of us who read history about the supposed 20/20 vision of hindsight. Listen to what he says.
Hindsight, then, is a tricky tool. Too much of it, and we obscure the all-pervasive sense of contingency as well as the problematic character of the choices facing the revolutionary generation. On the other hand, without some measure of hindsight, some panoramic perspective on the past from our perch in the present, we lose the chief advantage, perhaps the only advantage that the discipline of history provides. And we are then thrown without resources into the patternless swirl of events with all the time-bound participants themselves. What we need is a form of hindsight that does not impose itself arbitrarily on the mentality of the revolutionary generation, does not presume that we are witnessing the birth of an inevitable American superpower. We need a historical perspective that frames the issues with one eye on the precarious contingencies felt at the time, while the other eye looks forward to the more expansive consequences perceived dimly, if at all, by those trapped in the moment. We need, in effect, to be nearsighted and farsighted at the same time.
So here's what he says. Hindsight is a tricky tool. And yes, indeed, and I see this in two respects in his opening pages. The first has to do with the issue of slavery, and the second has to do with the duel between Vice President Aaron Burr and Alexander Hamilton. Now, our tendency is to look at both in hindsight and say, how could they? I mean, how could Washington and Jefferson and others own slaves and at the same time talk about all men being created equal? And how could they draft a Declaration of Independence and a Constitution and hold personal ideologies so contradictory to their political ideologies? I mean, it doesn't make sense. And as far as this whole duel between Aaron Burr and Alexander Hamilton, I mean, how could they engage in something so stupid, all because Burr's honor had been smudged by Hamilton's inflammatory remarks? And again, what he emphasizes is that they were trapped in the moment. And as I read Ellis, I don't feel he's trying to excuse them as much as I think he's trying to help me to understand them and their times. And he's definitely attempting to move us away from many modern historians who want to go back and rewrite history through the lives of individuals like Marcia Ballard as she recounts raising her family and practicing midwifery, or Venture Smith, who was a former slave who used his written memoir to sustain his memories of Africa. And he's not denying the importance of those kind of firsthand accounts, but what he wants us to see is that there would be no America were it not for this small band of founding brothers who were primarily responsible for bringing it into existence. We'd never hear about the others because there wouldn't have been an America in the first place. Here's what he writes. In my opinion, the central events and achievements of the Revolutionary Era and the early Republic were political. These events and achievements are historically significant because they shape the subsequent history of the United States, including our own time. The central players in the drama are not the marginal or peripheral figures that many modern historians want us to study, whose lives are more typical, but rather they're the political leaders at the center of the national story who wielded power. And what he says is this: they got us from the short run to the long run. Now here's my aha moment. And my aha moment is this: my hindsight isn't always 20/20. And very often I read history through the historical lens I have, and I only have because some actor on the stage of history 200 years before me did what he could or she could in the political and historical culture of his times that enabled me to stand on the same stage two centuries removed. So I'm asking myself, well then, how do I become a better reader of the American Revolution? And I have to begin by looking through their lens, not mine. And I think this is true of all reading. Context is king. But there are three things that stand out to me in terms of reading history. One, I must consider the political ideologies of their day. And what Ellis does in an amazing way is he helps me to see the two competing ideas that were going on way back then, in which the founding fathers, the founding brothers, were living in that atmosphere, are the same two ideologies that are going on today. And one is individualistic, and it's a focus on personal liberty and a serious hesitation when it comes to accommodating that personal freedom we have to government. It's more a Jeffersonian. And then there's more of a collectivistic ideology, and it sees the true spirit of 1776 as that virtuous surrender of personal state and sectarian interest, he writes, to the larger purposes of American nationhood. And that is what today we would say is more conservative, more Republican in the, you know, in our day and age, as we'd look at what being a Republican means. So the first thing is I've got to consider the political ideologies of their day. The second thing is I have to consider the cultural realities of the day. And again, I'm looking at this duel between Burr and Hamilton, and I'm saying, why in the world would two guys with their kinds of minds do something that foolish? Well, because they were raised in the waning culture of a code of honor that said the one way a gentleman displayed and settled matters of personal honor, not political opinion, mind you, but personal honor, was through a duel. Now, it doesn't make sense to me, but it made perfectly good sense to them. It was the cultural reality in which they lived. Third thing, and this is so important, I must not read their collective foresight as failure. Now, let me explain what I mean. George Washington and Thomas Jefferson owned slaves. And again, we look at this and say, how in the world could they? But these were the actors fighting on that stage for the establishment of a country governed in such a way where slavery could and would, albeit painfully slow, ultimately be outlawed. And what Ellis points out, that it was precisely these men who, understanding and uneasy about slavery in which they were willingly participating, chose to set aside that argument in the formation of the country because the nation may never have possibly been formed had that issue remained front and center. There was too much difficulty between the North and the South. And he writes, whether or not it would have been possible to put slavery on the road to extinction without also extinguishing the nation itself remains an open question. But they decided the risks of putting slavery aside for the time outweighed the prospects for the initial success of the establishment of the country. You know the saying, hindsight is 20/20. But when it comes to reading history, a lot of times that kind of 20/20 vision may hurt more than it may help. And it makes me wonder sometimes about students, say students at the University of Virginia or other places, who, understandably upset with some of the practices of our early founders, say Thomas Jefferson, for instance, have a tendency to throw away his entire career, everything about him, because of that particular event, not realizing the time in which he lived and the willing understanding to say we have to set this idea aside, as bad as it is, for the sake of seeing a nation founded. And I wonder sometimes if we realize that. Hey, we're all actors on the stage of history. And a few, very few it seems, take the time to step off the stage, look back at the play, examine the events as they unfold, particularly considering the underlying historical and philosophical times that gave birth to those events in the first place. And I must remember that in many respects, those who came before me, like me, are trapped in their moment of time. And if I want to read history and read it well, I'll have to question my 2020 vision. Well, that's my thought on my walk with Joseph Ellis and Founding Brothers. Now, what you do with it, that's for you to work out on your walk through life.